retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Welcome, drivers. Your questions are welcome at 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Harley.
And we want to thank R.J. Taylor and Oval USA for making this event possible, as they have for many, many years. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today. December 5th, 2011 can change without notice. Any comments made by anyone other than Senior Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. We've been known to have a few opinions around here. 800-288-9227. Okay, we've got some things to talk about. We'll discuss those here in just a few minutes. But as always, the calls go first, so let's get right back to the phones.
And let's go to Eric in Maryland. Eric, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Asalaw. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, now, I was going through Gallup Hole, New Mexico, coming east on 40 the other day, and they made me change two tires on this trailer. Neither one of them was flat. One had a bulge on the side, and had those automatic air systems on their tires, on these tires, and the inside one was being kept up. I thought it was a little soft. The scale house did a level two, made me change them both, wrote the inspection report and said that they just want the tires fixed, that no citations were being written. Now, my question is, do I get points on the fact that they wrote the inspection and I'm on it, or did they have to write a citation? Or I don't get points, or do I get points?
Well, no, you're not going to get any points. There's been a long myth going around that drivers are going to have a score off of CSA roadside inspections. That is the furthest thing from what actually will happen.
Okay.
What happens is there is violations. Any violation that shows up on a roadside inspection goes on the driver's CSA data.
Okay.
Some companies contract with third-party companies, and they get a release from the motor carrier. The motor carrier provides them the data, and they will go in and set up a score for the driver. But FMCSA does not issue a score to the driver.
Okay.
The only entity that has a score, and that is the motor carrier, and they get ranked based upon violations that show up in one of the seven basics. And for the motor carrier to be selected for what's called the intervention process, they have to be ranked in the top 2 or 3 percentile of the same peer groups that the motor carrier is in.
Okay. Well, I hear talk from other drivers that everybody's going to be accumulating points from anything.
No, no. Don't believe a word of it.
They are assigned to the carrier.
Those right.
Points are assigned to the carrier, and here's the difference. Here's the I guess where it might have an impact on you is if you were to go and you were to apply to another carrier, those points don't go to that new carrier on your behalf. But what they would do is find out what incidents you might have that could lead to a, display a pattern of behavior. And then ultimately they would decide whether or not you are a risk. Because again, the ultimate concern for those carriers is that they could have their doors closed. You as a driver cannot have your CDL taken away as a result of CSA. So while those points are assigned to those carriers as a result of something that you were involved with, they do not apply to you and do not go with you to a new carrier.
Okay.
Now, one thing that they might do, Eric, is like Eric was saying, if you choose to go to another motor carrier, that motor carrier may have a policy that when you come in, fill out an application, you sign a release, they go order and get a copy of the pre-screening employment program, and based upon that, they can massage and in turn issue you a score.
Okay.
And if they determine that we will not have drivers that have a score above X number, and if your score is above that number, then you don't get hired by that company.
Yeah, because ultimately what they would do, ultimately what they're trying to do is determine how you or your behavior, rather, would affect their score. Because ultimately, as Trooper Dial said, there is no driver score, but you, what you do can affect your carrier's score. And so through that PSP, they could look at it and then kind of put some numbers to those items that show up on your behalf, and then say, well, here's how they would impact our score if that pattern of behavior continues under our authority. So that's
now
the biggest concern.
Okay, now for 15 years I've tried to do my job real well, and I have a slew of inspection reports in the last 3 years, for instance, when I go across a scale house all over the country, and level ones, level twos, and level threes, and they all come back, no violations found. I have a stack of them. I started with this company a month ago. Now, I talked to the owner about those tires before I went through that scale house, because the air line on the tires, he says, I put $2,000 on the trailer. If that light isn't lit up, those tires are fine. I told the DOT guy that in New Mexico. And he thumped it with a stick and said, no, that tire's flat. And actually, when the guy came and changed the tire, pulled them lines off, it only had 25 pounds of pressure. So the tire was flat.
Okay, all right. What you're talking about is you've got the inflating system that runs off of the emergency.
Right, and I couldn't check the air.
Right, right. And what happens is, as long, you know, because it takes air pressure to keep the parking brakes off,
right.
And it's set up to where you set the what poundage you want the tires to run inflated at.
Right.
In a situation like that, because there was a malfunction or they didn't have it set high enough, you had less than 50%. Of the air pressure that is marked on the side of it, and as a result of that, then the trailer is placed out of service.
Right. The only thing I've had in 15 years is those two tires.
Right. And here again, if you get a chance, go to FMCSA's website and pull up the information on CSA and read it. So that you'll know, because it's all based on what the violation is. They've got chances are the tire violation is going to count 8 points. It's a multiplier times three, so you know you're looking at 24 points
for each tire.
Right, for each tire, because it's a recent violation. Once it gets over a year, it drops off to two times, and then after 2 years, it drops to 1 point or one times, and then after 3 years, it drops off.
And keep in mind something that might work to your favor. If there's no other items, if you were to switch carriers in the future and nothing else happened, nothing else was noted, that a carrier looking at that PSP would say, you know, this looks like an isolated incident and it doesn't look like a pattern of behavior. So, you know, that could certainly work in your behavior or in your favor. Trooper Dial, we've had this question before. What is it that a driver can do? They're telling their carrier, these tires don't look right to me, and the carrier says they're fine and this system is in place. Because you know, that's different than, I guess, some of the stories that we have heard where a driver is told, well, you know, drive on them anyway.
Right.
Ultimately, the driver, I mean...
Well, what the driver needs to do is prior to CSA coming on board, you know, most of the things that affected the motor carrier was violations that resulted in and out of service.
Right.
Now then, under CSA, everything has changed. It's a new ball game.
And yeah, I was put out of service.
And
but he told me about the light on the trailer, told me that as long as that light isn't lit up, I mean, I told the DOT guy everything, and I told him how I checked my tires.
Right.
And he said, he did it with the thumper, and he said, do you see that, do you hear that little bit of noise difference? I said, yeah. He says, well, that tire's flat. Now, because I can't check that tire just like you can't check that tire, I'm going to call it flat.
Well, no, you have to be able to check the pressure. Just because you thump the tire and it don't sound the same, that doesn't qualify.
That's what the owner of the trailer said.
Yeah.
And he relied on his air system saying there's plenty of air in there. The DOT man said no.
No, that would be one I'd do a data cue on.
So challenge that.
Yeah, because you've got to actually, it says you've got to actually be under 50% of the maximum inflation pressure mark.
And there's
on the
no
tire.
Way, and you can't tell that with a tire thumper.
No.
So, no. Yeah, that's something you can do. You can challenge that one.
Yeah, you might get back with the motor carrier and have him do a data cue.
Okay.
Yeah, and since he's already up on it, since he already knows, he's likely going to back you on it. He's going to want that, I think, just as much as you are, if not more, because, again, those points reflect under his authority.
Right.
So there you go. So at least challenge that one.
Okay.
All right?
Well, thank you. You've been real helpful.
Hi, buddy.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the call, and we'll get back to Ask the Law in just a moment
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
You can't tell anybody I said that.
I will not. 800-288-9227. It is Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
All the information is up to date as of today, December 5th, 2011. All the answers can change without notice. And we just want to let you know that. Also, comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Let's get back to the phones.
And we go to Rich in Indianapolis. Rich, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi. Hello, Rich.
Hello.
Hi, Rich.
Hello.
Hi. Hello, Rich. You're on the radio.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to understand these new regulations, and it kind of caught me blindsided about 3 weeks ago when my employer pulled me in and said his insurance company called him and said they had to let me go because my CSA number was too high. And I'd like to know how that works because I called the state of Indiana and I have no points on my CDL record. I haven't had a chargeable accident in the last 30 years, but yet his insurance company called him, said he had let me go because my number's too high.
Well, okay. Wow, this could be a long answer that we may have to carry over into the next segment. Trooper Dial. What should he know? Sorry, what should he know here about this? Because it's not about accidents.
Well, first off, Rich, the insurance company cannot get access to your CSA data unless your motor carrier provided it to them.
He did not do that. They called him and blindsided him.
They can't get it. They can't get it.
I'd like to know how that happened then, because that's exactly what happened. He was very, very frustrated because I'm one of his better drivers, and he was very, very frustrated, but he said, I can't do anything about it.
If they did get your PSP report,
it has to be done with his signature.
It has to be done with your signature, and if they have a copy of it, you might go back to your employer and ask him to find out if the insurance company did indeed get the PSP report. And if they did, then you might want to take and contact FMCSA and let them know that this insurance company is getting PSP reports without the driver's authorized signature.
Yeah. Because ultimately, it's not necessarily about having an accident or not, and you don't even have to be cited for these items that show up under CSA. They can show up during a roadside inspection. And it goes back now 3 years.
Yes.
So whatever has happened in the last 3 years during a roadside inspection, since you've had no accidents, it can also happen during the scene of an accident.
Right.
But anything that's happened during a roadside inspection has been accumulating points that are applied to your carrier based on you know, something that's happened involving you. But we'll talk more about this here in just a few minutes. We'll explain this. So listen off the listen on the air, and we'll explain how all this works. We'll try in just a few minutes. Ask the Law continues next
on the Midnight Radio Network. It is the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara with Eric Harley.
Back to Ask the Law. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, December 5th, 2012. I told you I'd say it. 2011? December 5th, 2011. Hold on a second. Can we check the calendar, please? It says 2011. I just said 2012 because I'm making it up as I go along. And we want to let you know that the comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Yes, retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can submit your CMV question anytime by going to their website, AskTheLaw.org. All right, Trooper Dial, we had the question, the concern by the driver, and according to him, he has been told that the insurance company called his carrier, and the carrier, because the carrier brought him in, sat him down, and said, the insurance company called and said, you've got too many points racked up under CSA, I got to let you go. First of all, this is the first I've ever heard of an insurance carrier being concerned under CSA. Now, I'm not saying they don't. Maybe they're starting to look at that, but they can only do that with a driver's authority. They can only look at that PSP with the driver's authority.
Yes. And in fact, Rich, one of the things that I would recommend that you do is go to FMCSA's website. There is a link on there that the driver can complete, and he can send off and get his own PSP report.
Right.
You get one of them once a year. I would definitely recommend that you get one. In the meantime, have your motor carrier, your boss, contact the insurance company and find out exactly what grounds that they used to inform your boss, the motor carrier, that they can no longer insure you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that information, compare it to your PSP report. And chances are you're going to find out that that information that they used, they could not get, and it's probably some erroneous information.
Yeah.
Most insurance companies, all they can do is get a copy of your driving record. And based upon your driving record is what they will tell the motor carrier that when a driver is uninsurable. But here again, I have talked with some insurance executives, and to best I can remember, they are not concerned with what's on a CSA driver's data report.
Right. But only if it was related to an accident, which is something that they would be concerned with even before CSA.
Correct.
So if you know, the driver tells us he has not had an accident and no points on his record, you need to look into this to find out what's going on. Get to the bottom of it because it could affect you down the road. And if you get a copy of your PSP and see that there are multiple things on it, then you need to essentially, kind of take a look at that. And that will, because that's what your future employers are going to look at. That's what other carriers are looking at. And when they look at that, even though those points are not assigned to those new carriers, they do not transfer to a new carrier. What is assumed here is that pattern of behavior would continue under that carrier's authority, and they may be less likely to bring you on board. So, but the first thing is you need to find out the truth in this scenario.
Yes.
So,
definitely do that.
Yeah, good luck. 800-288-9227. Let's get back to the calls.
And we go to Drew in Fort Worth, Texas. Drew, you're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Like I said, to your call screener, 22 years past over-the-road experience. Moved to Texas about 7 years ago. Got hooked up here with a heavy-duty wrecker service. My question is, these guys tell me I don't need to run a logbook. You go over your 100-mile, 150 air miles out of town, 36 on one, 10, 12 off. They got a timesheet there stuffed in your driver's file there in case you ever get yourself in trouble. Ain't run one, ain't touched one in 7 years unless I go out of state. If I run out or not out of state, cross the state line, or if I run over my allotted 100, 150 mile, I'll fill out myself one, say to Amarillo, straight back, come back, turn it in, give it to the office. They look at you like you're stupid. They fold it up, throw it in the trash can. Okay, I got my copy of it. They put tracking devices in these trucks, which will tell you every time the truck starts, stops, does whatever it wants to, just embedded into the computer there. What is the right and wrong on, say, a commercial graded vehicle over 26,002 pounds to run a logbook, whether you consider local or long distance or what have you?
Well, there's two things that you got to do, Drew. First off is if you go across the state lines or the load crosses the state lines,
okay,
the size of the vehicle goes down to 10,000 1 pound or more. If you stay strictly within the state of Texas,
okay,
26,000 1 pound or more. There's two ways that the motor carrier can keep hours of service. One is if you stay within a 100 air mile radius, or the 100 air mile radius applies interstate.
Okay.
Within Texas, it's 150 air mile radius. You have to start and stop from the same location each day. You can't be on the clock more than 12 hours, and you have to stay inside that circle. If you if you cannot meet those exemptions, then you have to fill a logbook out for that day and that day only.
Okay.
They are, wreckers are not required. There are no exemptions for the wreckers unless they are dispatched to a accident by law enforcement.
Okay.
At that point, then they are exempt from the hours of service, because obviously, you know, we've got a crash and we need the we need the highway or the street or the road or whatever, we need that cleaned up. So in those situations right there, if you go over your 12 hours, you would be exempt from the hours of service. But in your normal course, if you're at the you're at the shop, they call, somebody broke down and they need you to go get them, take them someplace, all of those hours would count. Likewise, if you were to go to Amarillo, you would have to run a log up there and back.
Okay, now, if I get caught, say, crossing the state line, they want to look at my 7 days pass.
No. There's an interpretation in Part 395.8 interpretation that says that you only have to complete a log for the day that you do not meet the exemptions. And in fact, there's also another interpretation in 395.1 that states the same thing. If your normal operation is the air mile radius exemption, they call it, I think, the short haul driver provision now, it's 395.1E. If that is your normal operation, and you have a particular day that you're going beyond the 100 interstate or the 150 intrastate, then you fill a logbook out for that day and that day only. Now, one of the things that I will caution you is if you are completing a log for that day only and the trooper says, let me see your log, and you show him a log and you've only got that day's log on it, and he asks you where your previous 7 days are, you do not answer, I don't have them.
Yeah.
What you need to do is tell them that the prior 7 days you operated under the short-haul driver operation. That means there are time records back at the office, and that should be the end of it.
Yeah, but, you know, just, I know you guys are busy in there, you know. Anybody out there interested in getting in this type of operation, you know, your Friday start at 8, you're on call till Monday night at 6. That's straight through, whether it's Amarillo, El Paso, Louisiana, Ohio, Oklahoma, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
Straight out, straight back, you know, and that's, just try to keep myself safe. They say, no, you don't need to run one. Just keep yourself safe out there. You don't need to run it. I'm like,
yeah. Well,
you know.
Yeah, we appreciate that advice. And it sounds like the driver's, you know, at least covering his, you know, his backside.
Right.
He's keeping a copy of it. You know, if you're prepared to show the DOT officer at that point, then you're doing the right thing.
Yes.
So we do appreciate the call. We are back in a moment. We will talk about idling. We promised to do that last hour. We're going to touch on a couple of things about idling in just a few minutes. When it comes to new trucks, is there an exemption? Details coming up on Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law. Welcome. Good morning. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Hartley.
Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial is here. By the way, if you didn't get your questions answered, go to askthelaw.org, askthelaw.org, and submit your CMD questions. Just click on that big red button that says email Ask the Law anytime, and they will get back to you with an answer as soon as possible. Exemptions when it comes to idling for new trucks, we're seeing more and more of the municipalities and states come out and say there is an exemption for the newer trucks. Where are those exemptions as far as the year model of the trucks? Is it 2007 or newer or 2010?
Well, first off, I can only address the idling restrictions in Texas.
Yeah.
And the TECQ, which is the state agency that oversees the operations in Texas, and there are primarily two locations in the central Texas area around Austin, and then we have one here in North Texas. And what TECQ in the last legislative session, they did issue an exemption from the idling law, which, by the way, runs between April and October of each year. Then the exemption applies to vehicles that have been certified clean idle engines. So if you have one of those, then you can idle in Texas anytime, anywhere, with no restrictions.
All right. So there you have it. And by the way, what we've said, and I've said this before, is always know what your idling rules are. It's tough to keep up with them, but you've got to know what the idling rules are. EPA's website, epa.gov, is one place you can go,
right,
to learn about the idling rules. But I want you and your family to have a very Merry Christmas.
Same to y'all.
And a Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. We may talk to you before then.
Yes.
If there's an hours of service rule that is issued, we'll bring you on to talk about it, as we have done with other breaking news on regulatory items. But otherwise, have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great.
All right. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.